Yeah. So we're gonna get a little outside the box this morning. I'm gonna kind of open up a little bit. Then we're gonna watch on the TVs here a couple of clips from a movie that came out a few years back called Hacksaw Ridge. If you've not seen that movie, and you're okay with war violence, because there's some graphic, not in the clips today. I found these carefully, so not to offend anybody. But if you're okay with a little bit of war violence, this is a true story about a Christian man who did some absolutely incredible things in World War II. And we're going to show two separate clips from this movie in just a few minutes here. And I'm going to just really kind of be unfolding something this morning that we're going to talk about for a few weeks. And we're going to call it Alex's phone blew up yesterday. So he's missing one word there, but where it says, give me one more, we're just going to put a word in front of that, and it's Lord. We're going to make that a prayer. And I want to commission you, as I unfold this for a couple of weeks, I'm going to show you exactly what the Lord gave me. This is about 2 years I've been grinding on this one. And really powerful. I was watching these clips on Wednesday at Time for a Tire, getting my tires rotated. And I was watching some of these clips, not the ones I'm going to show today, but I was watching some of the other ones, and I was trying not to cry in the lobby of Town Fair Tire. And then I was at my garage the next day doing another tire issue, and I was trying not to cry there watching these clips. And I really hope, church, the Lord gave me this, really inspired me. I haven't been inspired like this in a very long time, but I hope that you catch this vision over the next several weeks of how important this is and some reality of what's going on in the spirit realm. Amen? So, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Let's look at this. This is going to be kind of our platform for the next, really the rest of the rest of your lives. Amen? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And we're actually going to back up at some point in a few weeks and look just above this, because the context is pretty amazing. But look at this. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, look at this, church. What did Jesus say? How much authority? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, here's the word, therefore, right? Go, because Jesus has all authority. We know elsewhere he says, now I've given it to you, right? All has been given to me, now I'm giving it to you, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, everybody say teaching? Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We may have to do some digging around about what did Jesus actually teach? Because I think we can read that and we can get in a little bit of trouble with that. Amen? But church, so here's what most of us, I hope, know, that this is what we call now the Great Commission, right? As I was digging around this week, studying this stuff, just Googling the Great Commission and stuff, statistically, it's alarming, the statistics of how many Christians don't know what the Great Commission is. In America. Like, average Christians, it was like 80% of Americans, you ask them what the Great Commission is, they don't know. Isn't that crazy? What are we teaching in church today that average Christians don't know this? Ouch. I realized I've never taught this in almost 11 years pastoring. My bad. But my beloved, what the Lord is going to unfold here starting today, and I want you to, I really want all of us to think about this as not like, oh, that was a really cool series Pastor Mark taught in 2022. I'm asking by God's grace that this is something that gets into our spirit and changes the way we live our lives. Amen? Amen. How many people want to see this church explode? Amen. How many people know that we have been prophesied over for 3 decades? 3 decades we've been prophesied over in this church. I believe that what I'm going to share the next few weeks is the key. We need to pray, obviously, but we have a good, solid prayer ministry in this church, right? More of you can come out. We'd love to see you. Do you understand? I really believe, church, that this is the key. This is something that we have, since I've been pastoring this church, we have fallen short right here, big time. We're going to fix it by God's grace. Amen? So, it's funny, as I started studying this, just like the history of the Great Commission, it actually wasn't called this till like the 17th century is where they first kind of coined this. And if you want to dig around, it's interesting because there's some controversy around this Great Commission thing. And really the controversy around it is because, like many things in Christendom, people have taken this and abused it and used it for political gain and power and money and various things. But the gospel is to make disciples of all nations, right? Can I get an amen? I'm just going to be real with you. Anybody heard this phrase? I'm not being critical of the church, but anybody heard this phrase? We're just here to save souls. You know that that's not in the Bible anywhere? That's not in the Bible. I looked it up. It's not in there. You know what the Bible does say, though, is that the salvation of a soul is what we get at the end. It's what we get at the end when we make it. Can I get amen, right? And please don't get weird on me, church. If you get hit by a bus today, I'm not prophesying, but as long as you're right with Jesus, you know, you're running after Jesus, you'll be all right. But can I get amen? The salvation of a soul, my beloved, in the Bible is a process that works itself out. That's what's called sanctification, right? The second I say yes to Jesus, the Spirit of God comes in, joins himself with my spirit. I now have the holiness of God living inside of me. I am instantly a temple of the Holy Ghost, and I have the perfection of God living inside me. And then he says, now what's in you, you got to work it out, right? James says it like this, receive the word of God implanted, which is able to save your soul. You're like, wait a second, Jesus saved my soul. Well, not according to James. Jesus paid the price for our souls to be saved. Saving of a soul, my beloved, is a process in the Bible. Can I get amen? Amen. Is that all right? Did I rack anybody's theology yet? One more thing, and then we're going to look at these two video clips, and I'm going to try to not cry. I don't think I will, but 2 Timothy 4. Can we get this up here, Ruth? Here we go. Look at this. 1-5. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Well, let's read the rest of verse 2 together, church. With frustration and mean spirit. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and beat people over the head with your Bible. Tell sinners how terrible they are. Nah, it's not what it says, is it? I wish it said that. That's easy. Can I get amen, right? You ever just want to smack somebody? I mean, lay hands on them. That's what I meant to say. That's easy, right? With, come on, church, say it with me. With what? Great patience and instruction. For the time will come, we're in this time right now, church. We are living this right now, right? The time is here when, who's they? Just people. They will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. We're here, church. This isn't coming. It's here. Yeah? Now, how do we fix that? With great patience and good teaching. That's how we fix it. That's what Paul says to fix that. Can I get amen? But you, everybody say, but you. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an, oh. Do the work of what, church? Let's just be real. I'm raising my hand for real. I'm not trying to get you to raise your hand. How many people hear evangelism and get a little bit intimidated? For sure, man, right here, right? We're going to take that down over the next few weeks. Amen? God has called every single one of us, each one of us, to be an evangelist. Now, some of you might think, well, Pastor, it says there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, Pastor Steve. I'm not talking about the office of an evangelist. I'm not talking about that, right? Maybe we need a couple of those in our church. Can I get an amen? If you feel like God's called you to be an evangelist, praise God. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul is talking to a pastor. He's a young pastor. And he's saying, you are called to be an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. All right? Anybody ever look at what evangelist means? I'm going to make it less intimidating right now. One who shares good news. That's it. Anybody got any good news to share? Hopefully everybody here, or we got a problem. Right? An evangelist is not somebody who gets somebody saved. Church, that's garbage. That is not true. An evangelist's job, according to the Bible, is to be brave enough to share good news with somebody. The results are in God's hands. Amen? Is that all right? Going to hit just a couple things right in this passage, then we'll bring these videos up. What is my computer doing? Get out of here. So, verse 2. Let's look at verse 2. He says to preach the word, right? Be ready in season and out of season. So, what that phrasing means, church, right there, is the Greek phrasing is season and out of season is actually the same Greek word with the second one, it puts an A in front of it, makes it negative. What he's really saying is that there are going to be times when it's going to be favorable to us. Have you ever been in a situation where you shared Jesus with somebody, talked to somebody about the kingdom of God, and it just was easy? Like they were receptive of it, and it was a real nice situation, and man, that was a piece of cake. Guess what? You were in season. It was a favorable situation. But Paul also tells this young pastor, he says, you are still required at times to be bold enough and gentle enough and kind enough and patient enough to share this same good news in situations that may not be quite so favorable. Amen. Didn't get one amen for that one. Everybody's like, oh, I don't like that. Guys, y'all know Todd White? Anybody know Todd White? Guy with the big, huge dreads? I like him. And I like his ministry. It's called Lifestyle Christianity. Lifestyle Christianity. You know what his theme is? His whole mission is just like, just be who Jesus called you to be, man, 24/7. Let your life shine for other people. Tell you a quick story. This has been, again, probably two years the Lord gave me this actual movie that we're going to watch in just a moment here. But it's been probably about three and a half years where the Lord has really been grinding on me about, you know, and I've got some friends who are evangelists. Dave DeMarco is one of them. Him and I talk about this a lot. Why do we struggle so much? Why is it so many times, like, seems ineffective? Is that an okay to word? Anybody ever talk to somebody about Jesus and you're like, man, that went nowhere? Yeah. We don't know that, right? But that's what we're expecting, some kind of like, this person's just going to fall on their knees in the moment and just cry, I'm going to get saved. And we hear those stories and those are awesome. And we think that's what's supposed to happen every time. That's not true, church. Can I get amen? I heard this guy, and I'm gonna look over here. I heard this guy that I really like this guy a lot. He's a British guy, pastored for 35 years, and he's retired now. Now he travels around. And he actually does a sermon about why evangelism is largely ineffective in our culture today. And he says, the problem is that most Christians are boring. He's like, most Christians are very boring. Because we've taught, and this, again, this guy, he's saying, I've taught this. We have taught for decades in the church that Christianity is centered in a local assembly. And everything's about the local assembly. And everything's about the church. right? This, right? Where we get, is the local assembly important? Obviously, I'm a pastor of a local assembly. Please keep coming. Right? But we gather here, my beloved. There are reasons that we gather and reasons that we should be taking when we gather to go out there and make a difference. And part of that difference is bringing some of those people back into this place. Amen. Amen. Yeah? Now, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. Are we just trying to drag people to 12 Eastview Drive? No. Everybody say no. No. The kingdom of God is bigger than this church. Amen, right? We're going to take a lot of stuff down here. But listen to this. This preacher says the Christian, probably most Christians are boring. We, our entire lives, we don't know anything about anything outside of our little Christian sphere. So we try to make a connection with somebody who knows nothing about church, nothing about God, and we have no way to connect with them because we don't know how to talk their language. Pastor, Shane and I should start swearing at church? No! No, that's not what I mean. His example, church, in this video, this sermon, was a chameleon. If you know what, everyone knows what a chameleon is, right? Chameleons are able to change how they look on the outside to adapt to their environment without changing on the inside. And the scripture that he uses is, Paul says, I've become all things to all people, in order that I might save some, is what he says. Realizing not everybody's going to listen. You understand? And I tell you, I grew up in a culture where it was like, Christians don't do this. Christians don't do this. Christians don't do this. We don't go here. We don't go here. We don't listen to this kind of music. We don't go to the movies. Don't go to, dude. Okay, fine, fine. If that is someone's conviction before God, okay. But don't preach that as if that's what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible, my beloved, I see in the Bible, says I should be able to go into a hostile environment and be perfectly comfortable and fully confident that I'm there in a dark place shining light. We're so scared. Oh my gosh, what if it gets on me? What if you get on them? Dude. That's what we should be thinking. I'm going to get on you. I got a little Holy Ghost in me. He's going to get on you a little bit. Right? Listen, at my gym, I've been there 3 years. All right, let's quick story. Then we got videos. Are videos ready to go? Yeah. What do you mean, oh, yeah. What? Don't lose me now, man. Come on. I'm giving you the countdown. 3 minutes and counting. T minus three. That was not a good pause, man. So in church, this is it. Some of you that have been in the kingdom a long time, this might rub you the wrong way just a little bit, but praise God. So at my gym, I have built some friendships with other guys that I go to the same class every day. So we built some friendships and stuff like that. They eventually all find out I'm a pastor, and it's funny. You know, we get nervous about it, right? But I'm just one of the guys, man. No, again, am I swearing? But you know what I found out? Most of these guys aren't these awful people, right? They're not womanizers. They're not drunkards. They're not all that. I think that's we get this weird mindset, like, oh, sinners out there. T.D. Jakes, I was watching this T.D. Jakes video the other day, and he says, you know, problem with most Christians is they get amnesia real quick. And he says, this right in the video, he says, people go, oh, cigarette smoke, I can't stand the smell of cigarette smoke. He's like, girl, you were just sucking on that thing like a straw 6 months ago. And T.D. goes on to say, he says, if you cannot see yourself in who you're sharing the gospel with, you will be ineffective in sharing it. I'm not better than you. Right? The Lord said to me the other day, he said, son, stop thinking about people that are on different levels in their faith. He says, if they're on the same journey, that's what matters. Yo. Because you know what, church? There are folks on the journey that are way ahead of me, and there are probably two folks that are behind me. Maybe one. You know what I want to do? I want to reach up to the people that are ahead of me and say, man, help me. And I'm going to reach backwards and say, I got you. Come on. Come on, just keep moving, man. Right? So at the gym, this guy, two, three months ago, he messages me on Facebook and he says, bro, can you please pray for my wife? This called me. I've not said one thing to this guy about Jesus. He knows who I am. He knows what I do. He says, bro, please pray for my wife. I came home today and found her in the kitchen floor in a pool of blood, bleeding out of her, you know, down there, the nether regions. And, he, you know, it's just a messenger. I said, oh my gosh, man, absolutely. So I prayed for him. And then 2 days later, I saw him at the gym. He walked in. He does, he's the class after me. He comes in. I said, oh my gosh, man, how's your wife? He goes, they don't know what's wrong with her, man. She won't stop bleeding. She lost 2 pints of blood when he got home, 2 pints down. And they rushed to the hospital. She said, they can't figure out why she's bleeding. And he was tearing up at the gym, big, strong guy. He says, man, please keep her in prayer. I looked around. I said, come here. I said, in Jesus' name, I command right now that your wife gets healed and comes out of the hospital and gets home. Lord, thank you for healing this man's wife and raising her up in Jesus' name. And I stood up, and he's got tears coming down his cheeks. Church, I saw him 2 days later. I said, bro, how's your wife? He said, man, she's home. Is he in church yet? Not yet. Is he ever going to come to this church? I don't know. Who cares? Is he going to make it to the kingdom when his time on earth is done? That is what matters. And I'm telling you what, church, if we will get that mindset, it's about getting people home. God will start sending people here. Do you understand? It's not about, oh, let's hit the 200 mark. Man, I'm so sick of hearing that. I don't go to pastors' meetings anymore because that's all they talk about. How many people in your church? I don't care. I'm going to bless the people I got and feed them the best God is going to enable me to do so. And if I got 2 people or 2,000, who cares as long as they're healthy and strong and growing in the Lord? You guys ready for movie clips? I want you to watch these 2 clips. They are very clean and nice. But I want you to hear, think gospel when you hear this. Think kingdom. Amen. So there's a court scene we're going to watch first. They're trying to court-martial this man because he won't use a weapon. Watch this. Yeah, you can clap. That's good. So probably about 2.5 years ago, church, I don't know what I was doing. I was doing nothing. You turn the lights back up, by the way. Get us out of the cave. This literally last like 20 minutes of this movie just started playing through my mind. I'd seen it one time previously, and I really liked it, but this movie played through my mind. I was going through a really interesting time in my life, and the Lord had directed me to reach out to somebody that was uncomfortable for me. Anybody ever feel led to somebody and it's uncomfortable? Right? It was uncomfortable and challenging, but I knew the Lord wanted me to reach this person. It was really difficult at times, to be honest. It was really, really difficult. But the Lord played this last 20 minutes of this movie through my mind one day. And he said to me, when did I ever tell you that this walk was going to be safe? We like safe, don't we, church? We like comfortable. And then it was just like this thing just exploded in my heart. You know? And I want to just share a couple more things, and we'll wrap up, and I want to have some time of prayer here. And I was going to have like an altar call. I don't know if we'll do that, but maybe we'll just kind of take some time and pray for each other. But we need to understand that there's a war going on. in the spirit. We don't see it. See, like to me, I watched this movie. I haven't watched it again, but I'm going to watch it again because I see this. And again, it is graphic and whatever. But church, we got to understand something. This is how people are on the inside. People have been wounded. They're broken on the inside. Their legs are blown up. They can't stand up. You know how many people I talk to consistently and they're like, man, I am just hanging on. And it doesn't look like they're just hanging on because they're driving nice cars and they're dressed nice and they smile and, you know, they don't have like an arm hanging off. But in their heart is exactly what's going on in their life. Marriages are on life support. Children are struggling. Financially at ruin. Come into church on Sunday, raise their hands, and walk out and say, man, I hope I make it to tomorrow. Do you understand what I'm saying? And as the Lord started unfolding this to me, he said to me, in this same conversation, I was a disaster on the floor. He said to me, you want 100 people to just walk in the door of your church on a Sunday. Right, we've talked about, right at this church, we talk about this suddenly from God, right? Like one day we're doing it, here it is, pow, here's the revival. And the Lord said, son, I can do that. I can do anything I want. But I told you to go get them. I told you to do that. And I think we get these ideas in our minds of evangelism. We read about evangelists like Reinhard Bonnke and these guys that go to Africa and like a million people get saved. And we're like, I can't do that. God's not asking us to do that. The Lord said to me, just like that prayer over and over and over again, the Lord said to me, son, just get one. Just get one. And not bring them to church and they say the prayer and we never see them again. I mean, I guess that's okay because we don't know what the Lord's going to do in their life. But that is not what Jesus commissioned his believers to do. There's nowhere in the Bible he says, get them to say the prayer. He says, make disciples. You know why we don't like making disciples in church today? Because it's hard. It's hard. It's dirty. People are gonna say things to you. I can't believe some things Christians say to me. Christians, y'all. I used to get so offended. The Lord's like, you need to grow up. I think the funniest thing to me when people find out I'm a pastor, the first thing they do is they go, oh, I'm so sorry for swearing in front of you. Every single time, especially on the golf course. We're about 10, 11 holes in, and that's when I get them because we're way out in the woods somewhere and they can't run. I say, so what do you do for work? And they go, oh, I'm such, there it is, man, because you know they're going to ask you back. Every time, y'all, right? Church, you want to get a conversation? Just get something where they're going to ask you a question back that you can be like, hey, you asked, so, right? I say, I'm a minister. You know what I'm hearing lately? Brand new guy at the gym. Been there a month. The other day, we're warming up. Some of you come to our gym, right? We're on the roller, on the floor, the foam rollers. And I said, so, hey, man, I realize I'm listening. I'm listening to him talk to other guys at the gym. Guy's a lacrosse coach. So I said, hey, man, so you coach lacrosse. Do you do that full time? He goes, oh, no, I'm in sales. He said, I wish I could coach. What do you do? I said, I'm a minister. And he just looks, he literally goes, he stops rolling, he looks at me and he goes, wow, that's really cool. End of conversation. Until the next conversation comes up. Do you see what I'm saying, church? The Lord said to me, look, and here's the commission. I'm almost done right here. I want to read you one more passage of scripture, but I really want you to hear this. The Lord said to me so clearly, it's one of the clearest things I've ever heard. What if by the end of 2022, every single household right here in River Valley, so that's if you're a single person, you got a whole crew like I do, whatever that is, but each one of us, our lives, we say, God, just like this man, This man, this is a true story, church. This is a true story, right? Said, Lord, 2022, give me one person. Give me one person. Not that they come to church and say their prayer and never see him again. Give me one person. Give me one family that my story will connect with. Right? Because there's folks I could talk to that I'm going to connect with, and there's people I could talk to that they're not going to connect with me because, let's face it, I mean, people look at my life and they're like, oh, your perfect little cushy life. Okay, you know what? You want to know what my life is like? I'll gladly tell you. Everybody's got a story. Can I get amen? But just, you know what I mean? Every one of us, we're in these environments, and I think we get this issue. We get these weird mindsets of like, oh, I got to go to work today. Or I'm heading out to my mission field today. I'm heading out to the place that God has given me as a sphere of influence. Does that mean Peter has to preach the gospel at work? No, I said you should do your job at work. Looking for an opportunity to have a 2-minute conversation with somebody. Or when somebody says, hey, I know you're a Christian, can you pray for me? Pray for them right there. 20 seconds. I prayed for this guy in my gym for 20 seconds. 20 seconds. Is this all right, church? And the Lord said to me clearly, imagine at the end of 2022, if there was 20 new families in this church. And not 20 new families because, you know, just ran some, I'm going to be not being critical of it, just a Bob. There's no Bobs in our church, right? No Bobs. Okay, no Bobs. If there's a Bob online, I'm sorry. If Bob just brings somebody in, he goes, here's what we do in church. We bring them into church. We go, hey, pastor, here you go. Hey, Elder Mo, here you go. Oh, here, Chris, here you go. You know why, church? Because we feel like we're unqualified. Because it's, no, you're not. You're not unqualified because you know me and I got my spirit inside of you. And just like you were the one that hooked that fish, here we go, baby. Yeah. You reeled that one. He says, how about you work on cleaning that fish up? You build a relationship with this person. Could you imagine, church, what it would do for each of our faiths, each one of us, mine included, if a year from now, March 2023, if we're all still here and Jesus didn't come back and China didn't take us over, if we're all still here in this church and there's somebody sitting next to you that is there because you led them to Christ and you discipled them and you built relationship with that person. You know what he'd say? Wow, this actually works. Have anybody ever led anybody to Christ? Like you took him out of the gutter and they're doing good, right? You got them, they came, they got saved, and they're in church somewhere and they're serving. Anybody? Raise your hands up. Wasn't that one of the most awesome things in your walk? Yeah? Church, it's unbelievable. It is such an incredible thing to watch. Is this all right? Ephesians 6, I just want to read this to you real quick, and then we're going to pray with each other. Again, I don't feel to have an altar call. I really don't. I think we're going to just kind of turn and pray with each other in groups. Amen? Because, church, you all have the same Spirit of God in you that I have in me. Amen. And this is a call from God for the body of Christ to rise up. Amen. Ephesians 6. Look at this. Finally, we know this one, but church, think about it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full, how much armor of God? The full armor of God so that you are able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You know, we typically apply this in church when we've got conflict with somebody. Is that right? We don't rest against flesh and blood, brother. Imagine if we looked out into the world with this. We look past what we can see with our eyes and realize that there's a something spiritual going on in this person's life. We see past all this stuff. I remember I grew up in church. It was like, oh my gosh, this person's got tattoos. Rah, you know, or they got crazy hair. Or they got whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and God's saying, look past all that stuff. Look past the surface. Look past their attitude. Look past their anger. Look past their bitterness. Look past all that stuff. You know what we do, church? We find somebody who walks into church and they got a nice shirt and tie. We're like, man, this guy must be saved. We was at a conference one time, years and way before we were in this church, and it was a huge church, and they had this conference every spring, and they had an altar call one day at the end of the church, this one service, and there was a dude sitting on the inside aisle. He was like two rows in front of me and Missy, and he's in like jeans and like a button shirt, and maybe he had a baseball hat or something. And one of the ushers comes out, and I could hear him. He was that close. The usher comes out and says, young man, would you like to get saved today? And he looks at this guy and says, I pastor a church. The guy's like, I'm a pastor. But because he didn't dress like a pastor, we assumed this guy wasn't even a Christian because he had jeans on at church. Can I get an amen? Imagine, my beloved, if we went out and found somebody that we were like, yikes, man. But maybe that person needs just one more person to tell them about Jesus. Maybe they're that close. And we see the package and we're like, yikes. Amen. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, right? There's a wrestling match, there's a battle going on. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. Having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen, church? What's the good news? The gospel, the good news of peace. God has made peace with man. Can I get amen? Right? What's the good news? God has made peace with man because of Jesus, right? In addition, taking up the shield of faith with which you would be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, taking up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Let's stand up. And I just want you to get together, like wherever you are right now. We're just going to wrap up with a little bit of ministry time, but y'all are going to minister to each other. I want you to get together with like three or four people right around you. If you don't know them, it's even better. Amen. Come on, turn around, get with them. And I want you guys to lay hands on each other, hold hands. And I want to commission you, and that I want you to take a few minutes. You don't need to drag it out, but just let the Spirit of God minister in your midst. I want to commission you right here. The Lord told me that God has given each one of you already a testimony. God has given you a personality. He's given you a skill set, a sphere of influence. Not just a missionary field, church, but a battlefield. Understand that you are going to go into ground that is dangerous. God is going to send you into an area that the enemy has destroyed. There are going to be wounded people because of the enemy. God is sending us there. Do you hear that? God is sending us not just to a mission field, but a battlefield where there will be broken people all around you. Just like the general says to him in that court scene, he says, what does he say? Listen, I thought this was so awesome. He says, Private Doss, I give you permission to run into the hellfire of battle without a single weapon to defend yourself. But we don't need the weapons of man to defend ourselves. We don't need the wisdom of men. We don't need the ways of men. We need to be bold in the kingdom of God, and God will defend us. God will fight for us. God will give us what we need to say. So I commission this house this day, March 27, 2022. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you right now that you deposit this in the hearts of each and every one of us, God. Lord, I pray right now that we'd stop the internal battles, God, whether that's in our own hearts, our own minds, God, within our marriages, Father, within our children. Lord, we'd stop looking at our jobs as a place of just turmoil and say, man, this is a place I'm going to shine my light. This is a place that God has given me. This is my mission field. This is my battleground. This is a place that God has called me to get one. The Lord said to me, if you will step out in faith, I will send each and every single one of you someone that will hear your story. Well, I'm not like so-and-so. God says, I don't need you to be like so-and-so. I need you to be you. I need you to be the you that I've called you to be. I made you on purpose and for purpose. Father, in Jesus' name, we're asking, right now, give us one. We bind fear. We bind feelings of insecurity. We bind feelings of I'm not good enough. I don't know the Bible enough. I'm not mature enough. Garbage. Holy Spirit, we thank you for equipping us for this mission. In Jesus' name. Church, I just want you to stay in your groups for just a few minutes as the Holy Spirit leads. Pray for your group. If you get a word for somebody in your group, lay hands on them. Speak into their life. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.